This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Moving on to our next story, the fight against corruption seemingly appears to be a priority for Pakatan. Yesterday, we spoke about the upcoming special marriages, child custody and nafkah court that will start in May. We might be getting another new court very soon, one to deal specifically with corruption.
Guys, new courts and new committees are popping up every day, every single day. So Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad has said yesterday, that the government wants to set this court up as soon as possible for several reasons. One, that it's to deal with the public perception that some corrupt individuals either get away with the crime or, you know, just come out clean. He feels that hearings on corruption cases were considered as, you know, just regular hearings without being accorded any specific priority.
So additionally, is to make sure that courts run more efficiently. Tun M said that other cases get delayed or affected when corruption cases are held in the same court. The judges for this court would be appointed through the usual manner by the Yang Diputuan Agong. The prosecution powers will come from the Attorney General, and Tun added that the special court would not affect the normal court.
Interestingly though, in relation to this issue of corruption, Tun also said that the government wants to introduce a new song to be sung after Negaraku at official functions, which is called Malaysia Bersih. On this, he said, "We want to instill in the minds of government servants the importance of cleaning our nation of corruption so that we will no longer be known as a kleptocratic nation and return to being a democracy." I love this simply because I went to a school where singing patriotic songs was just, and I think many of us did, right, where it was just kind of ingrained into us. And it's interesting to see that even as adults, this is an approach that we're planning to take.
So I'm hoping that if it's a song, it's going to be a bop.
Malaysia Bersih, it's a strong start.
So if you have any thoughts about this, if you think we do need another special court just for corruption, and if you think the government is, do you think the government is handling corruption well, call us with your thoughts, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're crossing over now to constitutional lawyer Datuk Malik Imtiazawa for his thoughts on this. Malik, thanks so much for joining us on the show. What are your thoughts on setting up this special court for corruption?
Okay, I think it's a matter of specialization. Specialization will allow for more efficient and quicker disposal of cases involving corruption. I think that's a good thing because corruption is a matter that strikes at the heart of public administration, and its impact is felt across the board. So I think it's justifiable for the government to position corruption as a priority issue and devise methods to address it directly. At the moment, the criminal courts handle a range of criminal matters, and as do the other courts in the country. Specialization is nothing new. And so focusing a particular court or judges on specific types of matters is not unconventional, nor is it, I think, problematic.
So what direct impact will the special court have on corruption cases?
So I think the most direct impact is that you will potentially have judges who are specialized in hearing corruption cases. We already have that in the Sessions Court. And I think the proposal is to look at how to create specialist high courts dealing with corruption and potentially having specialist judges in the Court of Appeal hearing corruption cases. These sorts of cases involve public administration, and they therefore involve dimensions or nuances that may not be present in the average criminal type case. So in terms of impact, I think ultimately you would have more focused and quicker, speedier determinations without sacrificing the quality of adjudication or compromising the rights of accused. So essentially these courts, as I understand it, would, If I understand the concept correctly from the media reports, these courts would deal only with matters of corruption and not other criminal matters, and therefore free up the time of the court to handle these types of cases.
So at the moment, the hearing of corruption cases can be postponed for a long time because, well, they aren't different in any priorities from any other regular cases. What impact is there when these cases keep getting delayed?
Well, the point is then, number one, the cases don't get addressed. and the systemic issues involved don't get considered or addressed. Because while corruption can be seen as just being a matter of giving and taking bribes, it more often than not goes a lot deeper, because it addresses matters of systemic deficiencies. Why is it that these things were permitted by a system? Why was there no accountability? How did the perpetrator get away? What he was doing? These are all very important questions that have to be addressed, not just for questions of justice and ensuring that persons who have committed offences be brought to book, but also to allow the government to understand how best to deal with any deficiencies in the system so that these things can be avoided in the future. Equally as important is public confidence in the administration, and delays sometimes, I guess, lead to perceptions that perhaps these matters are not seen as a matter of priority, and that's not necessarily a good thing, especially if the administration is now trying to change public perception on its commitment to proper governance and the rule of law. So I think that it's a pretty wide ambit in terms of its impact, and underlying all of this is public confidence.
Right. And, you know, corruption doesn't stand alone. It is often intertwined with other crimes. Would it be easy to tease out the specific kinds of crimes that would be heard within this court?
Well, I don't think there's any need to tease out, because corruption offences are already provided for under specific acts like the legislation on corruption or abuses of power. So I think all it would require is for the judiciary to determine the extent or scope of the specialist courts. And as I said, I think the judiciary would want to consider how best to streamline to ensure the purpose is achieved and got to effectively. Now, this is something that I think is ultimately for the judiciary, because there is a separation of powers. And while the government may have certain ideas about how things should be done, matters pertaining to the administration of justice is within the sole province of the judiciary. So, you know, we've had intellectual property courts, we've had other sort of courts established, commercial courts, civil courts, etc. This involves, I think, a discussion with the judiciary to see how best to put this into effect. As I said, there are already sessions courts dealing with corruption. It's a matter of now finding the way to have specialized high courts, and then from there, specialized panels hearing these sorts of things in the Court of Appeal. I mean, I don't think it's complicated. I think it just involves proper engagement by the stakeholders working towards a common objective.
Do we need additional measures to ensure that the special court is impartial and will not become subject to corruption itself?
No, I think the issues impacting on this court will be the same as in any other court. So as long as the judiciary takes measures to ensure that there's adequate accountability and scrutiny of these decisions, there should be no concern of that nature. I mean, every judge hearing a case is under the same obligations of impartiality and accountability. And I don't think there's any difference between one judge or the other hearing different kinds of cases, etc. Whether corruption cases involve higher chances of interference, etc., I think that's something ultimately for the judiciary and the executive to consider within the wider framework.
Earlier, you talked about nuance in corruption cases. So would the handling of these cases be different in the special court as compared to a regular one? Would specific judges be needed? Would procedures be different?
Well, procedures are generally governed by the Criminal Procedure Code for all criminal matters. And I'm not sure that one can change those procedures just for the corruption cases. What I meant was that, you know, corruption cases involve intersections with public administration. So, you know, the way in which things are done, the various levels in which projects are approved, government projects, I mean. These are factual matters that I think a specialist judge would be more well-versed with in appreciating the context in which corruption can occur. Someone who's not necessarily well-versed with these things may not be able to capture the various stages or the various phases in which corruption can occur. I mean, so for example, if you say take the way in which government contracts are handed out or entered into, how are those contracts negotiated? How are those contracts ultimately confirmed? What are the processes for bidding, et cetera, et cetera? These are things that obviously will have a bearing. And that's what I meant by nuance. The factual aspects that a judge hearing these sorts of cases, depending on the transactions in question, would have to be familiar with.
One last question before you go. What should the relationship be between the special court and the MACC?
I don't think there should be any relationship, because the MACC effectively handles the executive side of things in terms of investigation, framing of charges in conjunction with the Attorney General, whereas the judiciary deals with the aspect of determinations and adjudication. So the separation of powers requires that there is no relationship. Having said that, the prosecutors who handle these cases will be familiar with the procedures, and to an extent they will probably be known by the judges, but that in itself is not something that I say amounts to a relationship. That happens to all of us who appear in courts regularly. So I guess the bottom line is there is no relationship, and that separation has to be jealously guarded to ensure public confidence.
Imtiaz, thanks so much for sharing your thoughts with us. That was Malik Imtiazawa, who's a constitutional lawyer. And I believe we have some messages on some of our earlier stories. This one specifically about MAS.
Yes, about MAS and its fate that currently hangs in the balance. We've got this that's come through from GKM Low, who says, MAS supposedly gold, but in reality, mana ada system and mesti ada salah. While it's said that rich families lose their wealth in three generations, MAS has lost its wealth three times, or is it more, in just one? We cannot just gloss over all that's wrong. Business model, inept, unable management, corrupt practices, and then, just continue bailing out a failed business entity. In these times, it is a big sin to throw good taxpayer money towards an abject business failure. Why make comparisons with Thai and SIA? Incidentally, has the Singapore government ever bailed SQ out when there is money spinning AirAsia over here? The so-called expats that were called in recently, who strangely then bailed prematurely, merely did what even a junior accountant would recommend: downsize and make MAS a regional airline, a la Garuda. This also failed, and as a huge symbol of previous mismanagement, we have not one but six fat boys, yes, the A380s that are lying idle. The common Malaysian, unfortunately, is generally emotional and cannot be expected to have good judgment in these things, which I feel like I'm being spoken to personally here, because I have been sentimental about this. But the fact that Khazanah made the 5 billion ringgit write down indicates that MAS NTA is most likely in the negative, somewhat if you recall where AirAsia was before Tony and friends bought it. I could go on with many more examples, but I reckon enough said already lah.
Yeah, between the two camps of, it's obvious we got free stands.
Yes, very clear.
Sorry, where law stands, right? And I think there is a lot to it, right? And that's what encapsulates what Tun M said earlier, that, he loves MAS. He genuinely does. And he believes that it is a national icon, but it's just bleeding too much. And maybe it's time to cut it loose.
Perhaps so. Keep those messages coming. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. And by the way, after the 7:30 news today, it's going to be Skip Intro, where we talk about Queer Eye. So stay tuned for that.
We have some music coming up. You Have Killed Me by Morrissey. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.